Thanks for joining us on this course, Enabling DevOps Practices with Visual Studio Online Build. So today, you are joined by myself, David Tessar. I am a senior technical evangelist at Microsoft. You can see my blog there. I've got hundreds of videos, no joke. I've been shooting videos since 2007, all kinds of technical videos, courses on DevOps, all kinds of things like that. Extreme sports enthusiast for sure. And as far as my professional career goes, I've been working in IT since 1998 and been at Microsoft since 2002, a long time as an evangelist, but always kind of focused on that ops audience. And then of course we have my GitHub profile down there, which will come in handy later. And I'm also joined by Donovan.
Hey. How are you? So I am Donovan Brown. I am a senior program manager for DevOps. So I'm responsible for the experience that you have when you're using our DevOps experience on VSO. I happen to be the 12th best air hockey player in the world, which is always a
you hold
always gets that, a round of applause when I say that.
Yeah. Do you like a consistent 12th ranked, or is it like
I've actually been 11. I've been 12, so I'm pretty good.
Okay.
I just had a table brought to Microsoft, so in the commons, that's my table, and I brought it so that we can share it and we can actually practice. Staying in shape on that.
Nice.
Yeah, I also race cars for fun. I'm an avid developer. I've been slinging code since the 90s, so I bring the dev to his ops when we're talking about DevOps. So we're going to keep each other honest and balanced there. For our career, the reason that I got acquired by Microsoft, I feel like I got acquired. I was recruited to come and join because of my experience in the process consulting world. I flew all over the world helping teams use Team Foundation Server and implement Scrum and become more agile. And it seemed like a natural progression for me to come to Microsoft and help sell those tools. And now I'm a PM to help build those tools. So really excited about my opportunity here. So I encourage you to join the conversation. You can follow me on Twitter. It's at Donovan Brown. A lot of people are giving me their feedback and their comments and suggestions so that I can help make this the best product we have.
All right. Well, we have 5 modules for you today, and I'm not going to list what all those are. But so stay tuned beyond this overview module for all of the great content we have in store for you. Some prerequisites for you. One is it would be nice if you had some Git experience. It is not a hard requirement, I would say, but things might make a little more sense since we will be working with Git a little bit. It also would be useful for you to just have a general concept of builds, like what is a build? You don't need to know anything about Visual Studio Online or Azure or really a whole lot else. We assume that you're relatively technical since you are attending a course here about builds. And if you want to follow along, you can go ahead and create a free Visual Studio Online trial account. It's free up to 5 users. It takes a couple minutes or so to get going. So that is a little bit about prerequisites for the course. So with that, we're going to start our overview module here. We wanted to give you a little bit of an idea of some background first, right? By no means are we going to go into every nook and cranny here of Visual Studio Online, but we want to explain some things up front here so we can more adequately explain build. One, which is what is TFS versus VSO and how does that whole dynamic work? The other is, what are the improvements in build? And this will be probably the main focus of the course today, which is the enhancements within build. And then, what is this concept of DevOps practices that's in the title? What does that mean? And how is that going to relate to what you're going to learn for the rest of the course today? So what is our solution? Our solution for this entire space is Team Foundation Server. That's been around for a really long time. But come around 2011, we launched this service equivalent, effectively, of Team Foundation Server. So this does a lot of different things, as you can see here. You know, source control, agile planning, test case management, the list goes down a whole bunch of things here. There's no way, again, like we're going to cover all of this today, but we are going to hone in on a number of different things here that specifically mostly relates to the build capabilities and some of the things that you can do with it and how it relates to DevOps.
Oh, absolutely. Team Foundation Server is I like to describe it as a collaboration hub. that has your work item tracking, your bug tracking, it has your builds, your release management, everything is combined into this fantastic solution. And as you said, we brought it online. And one of the key points of that is their build automation, which we're going to be talking about today.
Mm-hmm. One of the other things that I think is also really important to understand is the cadence. So, you know, sometimes you get, hey, well, that's great that you're doing this, you know, new WhizBang thing in Visual Studio Online, but name your excuse why you think you can't go to the cloud yet. And then what I would tell you is that, well, we have a great cadence here at Microsoft in that, you know, every 3 weeks we push things into Visual Studio Online. Well, after roughly every quarter or so, we push those features back to the TFS product on the on-premises, right, TFS. So even though you may see something, and we're focusing today on Visual Studio Online, eventually you will get to see those features on Team Foundation Server if that's what you need to do. So this equally applies for really TFS as well, as even though this is focused on Visual Studio Online for today.
Absolutely.
Okay. So what are the improvements in build, Donovan?
There are lots of improvements in build. It is completely new from the ground up. So if you have a lot of experience with our old XAML-based build where we had you learn workflow to be able to do a build, you'll be nice to know and pleased to know that you no longer have to understand workflow to do your build. You just simply need to know the tools you already know today. So if you're using Maven, you can continue to use Maven. If you're using MS Build, continue to use MS Build. You don't have to learn another what we call DSL or domain specific language to be able to do your builds today. So the XAML's gone. We've replaced it with an enormous task library that we're increasing, and that's also open source so that you can go see how we've written our task so that you can go write some task of your own in the future. It's completely web-based, so you no longer have to go inside of Visual Studio to build a build definition and then try to go monitor it somewhere else. You can stay in the web and have this nice single pane of glass that will allow you to do everything that you need to do as it pertains to your builds as well. So there's a lot of new flexibility there. We have a new agent-based solution that we're going to teach you how to install some of those agents later. We host those agents for you in the cloud, so that there's a zero installation process of getting your code actually building with Team Build now.
Yeah, very cool. Tons of changes. I mean, really, you know, we looked at what are all of the feedbacks that we have been getting for our product over some time and said, let's fix all those major ones and just do a whole new build system.
Right. We also wanted one that was cross-platform, which is a huge improvement on our old build system. Microsoft has historically been the .NET company, and we're trying to change that. And you see a lot of tweets about, I love the new Microsoft. And the new Microsoft is an open Microsoft where we're doing open source and we're open sourcing our task library. It's a Microsoft where we're trying to embrace Linux, and we have Linux running on Azure, and it's very easy to stand up. And we're actually even embracing Mac, so where you can do iOS development using our system. So no matter what technology you're using or platform that you're targeting, Microsoft adds value to that project.
Yeah, if you snap to the slide, you can actually see that right here, this is a Macintosh. That little black box on the right-hand side is the VSO agent running on the Mac waiting to do builds, for instance, of iOS.
Absolutely.
Right? iOS, you got an iOS app, you want to do test automation, for instance, or builds, you've got that connection point right there. So you could run a sea of Macintosh devices and have those be your build agents.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yep. You also noticed Linux, right? That's another big one that's there. And we'll show a little bit of that more later. But really, truly, you know, changing the game in terms of what people are doing in terms of that cross-platform, right? We realize that people are doing a lot more than Microsoft and .NET these days, and even us at Microsoft, right? We have a lot of open source technologies that we're supporting, especially in the light of Azure, right? With Linux and
we even open sourced our core for ASP.NET, so you can run. We're going over to the Linux world.
Even .NET will run on Linux.
Exactly.
It's kind of crazy, right?
Who thought that would ever happen? Yeah. I always think it's funny that until I joined Microsoft, I had never installed Linux or owned a Mac. And now that I work at Microsoft, I have an Android device, I have a Macintosh, and I've installed Linux more times than I can imagine. And I'm thinking, wow, you would have thought I would have done this before I joined Microsoft, not after. But it's a completely new Microsoft. It's a Microsoft where we understand that we have to play in those ecosystems as well.
Mm-hmm. So what can you tell us a little more about the build DSL?
Well, what's nice is that there is no build DSL, which is the beautiful thing. Before there was, and there are many of them already out there, MS Build, Maven, Ant, Grunt, Gradle, pick your tool. But what we don't want to do at Microsoft is introduce yet another tool that you're going to have to go learn before you actually be able to do your builds. So what we're going to do is you bring us your bits, and we're going to build those bits for you using the tools that you already know and love. So we have tasks that will let you do Gradle and let you do Grunt and do all those other types of activities that you're currently doing on your builds today. We're going to let you do them in our build as well.
Very cool. Okay.
Oh, hiding our logs. This has been a pain point. I think our old build system was very optimistic that everything was going to go great every time, so we didn't make getting to those logs very easy. But we all know, if you've ever done any builds, that builds break, right? Especially CI builds. That's what they're designed to do. They're supposed to fail fast so that I can go back and fix them. But when they fail, I need to get to those actual log files so that I can see what actually went wrong. And what I'll show you when we start doing our first build is our logs are now in real time. You can see them as they're happening, and we make them very, very easy for you to get to.
Okay. What about the extensibility? Because this is one question that I get. I mean, you see a lot of, and this is something that I think is really important to clarify, right? Because you see all these different cross-plat tasks and stuff. But then what sometimes I get is, well, what about whatever that is? You know, whether at the HipChat or Slack or some other thing, right? And,
right.
And maybe you can clarify a little bit on what are some of the extensions for Visual Studio Online and how does that kind of relate a little
bit? Great. Team Foundation Server historically has always been very extensible, right? We've always had hooks in places where you can actually plug in your system. And what we're doing inside of Visual Studio Online as well is we're making sure that we give you REST APIs and other endpoints that you can listen to and monitor so that you can plug your system into it. We've also taken our task library that's inside of our build system and open sourced it so that people can contribute to it and that you can add your own to it. So we realize, and I believe this firmly, that Team Foundation Server and VSO is best when you use all of it as a unit. But there's going to be times where you're going to need to replace the build system with something else or the release system with something else. And we've put those hooks in place to where if you'd like to use it all, great. But if you need to take it piece by piece and use it, we have that functionality for you as well.
Cool. All right, DevOps frame. So we talked about, the title of this course is, enabling DevOps practices. Well, what is a DevOps practice? What does that mean? We are definitely not going to explain all of what DevOps means to you today, but I do want to at least explain to you at a high level how does a DevOps practice relate to this whole DevOps thing that's out there. At the kind of flying really high, the 50 or almost the 100 level, right, you're going to have things that relate to DevOps like people, right? Dev, ops, business. You're going to have things like process. You're going to say, what is the business value of doing DevOps? All those types of things float at a very high level. And on the other side of the spectrum, the 300 or deeper level of the conversation, you start to have all these different tools that pop up, right? I'm doing Chef, and I'm doing Puppet, and I'm doing technology, whatever that is, Jenkins and release management
Docker
and all those things. And there's a bit of if you left it at that, there's a bit of a disconnect, right? Because you're saying, well, there's this kind of DevOps high level concept thing, and then there's this technology thing. And some people incorrectly say, well, I'm using Chef, so I'm DevOps, or I'm using this. And so it's like, no, no,
right.
You're not, right? You have to have that people process and that whole thing in place in your organization. But there is still a desire, right, to kind of connect those two concepts together. And so that's where DevOps practice really comes into play. A DevOps practice is really something that I would call more industry recognized with a set of things that you do. And we'll explain more of the specific three that we're going to talk about in a bit. But that helps you to really kind of bridge those gaps, right? So if you're doing, let's say, infrastructure as code, there are tons of different ways you can implement infrastructure as code, whether you're using Microsoft or not. That is a DevOps practice, infrastructure as code, on how you can kind of bridge the gap between all of those, the high level things and the 300 level technology things. So that's what we mean here and how DevOps practices fits into the bigger picture. What are the DevOps practices though? Well, this is just a list here that I've come up with. And the left-hand side I would say is probably more of the more well-known ones in that space. But specifically for today, we are going to be covering, you know, these three and how Visual Studio Online Build can help with those three components. Now, that being said, Visual Studio Online in general, there is a lot to it. Like we mentioned, that first slide we had at the beginning of this module, you know, there's a ton here, and there's no way we're gonna cover all of these things today, but just know that Visual Studio Online can enable a lot of other things here, and we're just gonna focus on just these three today. So with that, I would love to snap over to Donovan.
Sure.
And give you just kind of a, you know, a quick intro, right, on VSO, so that people may get a little familiar with at least the source code side of things.
Sure. So you'll be able to follow along if you have a VSO account with what we're going to be doing today. So what we're going to start off with is showing you how to create a team project that uses Git as the repository. And then we're going to actually take some code off of GitHub and use that as our sample project for the remainder of our modules today. So to get started, inside of your VSO account, you can simply click on New. This is gonna allow me to create a new team project. You can give it any name you want. We can call it MVA02. And then from here, we can choose a process template. So if you're Scrum or Agile or CMMI, you get to choose what template you'd like it to use. And then down here, you get to choose the version control. As you can see, Team Foundation Server version control is still the default. And I want to take a moment to say, we're not getting rid of TFVC, right? David and I spoke about which source control system we wanted to talk to today. We chose Git, but that is no indication that we're dropping support for TFVC. Right? Git is very popular right now, and you'll see a lot of activity from Microsoft on Git, and that's because there are some workflows that we have in TFVC that aren't implemented in Git yet. So yeah, there's a lot of activity and excitement there, but it's not an indication of our lack of support for TFVC. So I just wanted to throw that out there because I'm a big TFVC fan, but Git is unavoidable. So regardless if you love it or not, you're gonna have to learn it. So let's go ahead and use this as an opportunity to learn how to use Git as well. So I'm gonna go ahead and create this project. And as the original slide showed with TFS and Visual Studio Online, there's a lot of value. So what it's doing in the background right now is creating all that value for us. It's giving us a place to store our test cases, our bugs, our requirements, our builds, our releases, all that valuable stuff. And now it's done. It's very quick to do. And what I'm gonna have now is an opportunity to see a dashboard of our brand new project. It gives me a quick way to get started, and what we're interested in today is the code. So if I go to the code tab, you're gonna see that I now have a private repo inside of TFS, but there's no code in it. So what we're gonna need to do now is go get some code. We have a couple projects, David and I both, that you can use to follow along. My username is Darque, D-A-R-Q-U-E, Warrior. And if we search here, you'll be able to see that I have some repos up here. And the one that we're gonna be using first is going to be the Parts Unlimited repo. And there's a branch in here that we're gonna wanna use, which is the ASP.NET 4.5 branch. And all I'm gonna do real quickly is just download the zip file. If I open this up, I'll be able to just copy this folder. And then let's find a place on our hard drive where we wanna store this information. And I'm just gonna go very quickly to C, create a folder called repos here. And then simply paste this folder into it. Now, I'm going to be using my credentials from VSO to do all of my work, but as David pointed out, there is a way for you to actually go in and set what we call alternative credentials that will allow you, I believe that this is the right right tab for that.
You got it.
So when it loads up here in just a second, we're going to be able to set alternate credentials that you could then type in on the command line versus having to use your Hotmail or whatever account you're using to associate with your Git repo here. I'm gonna go ahead and steal this while I'm here. While that loads, we'll come back and look at that here. I don't wanna wait for that particular thing to load. We're gonna go ahead and jump into PowerShell. And I'm gonna use normal Git commands. So the point that we wanna drive home here is this is the Git you know and love. It's not a TFS version of Git or a Microsoft version of Git. This is just flat out Git. So I'm gonna run commands that if you're a Git user that you should be familiar with, and hopefully that I get right because, like I said before, I am a TFVC fan. But we're gonna go ahead and get into the Parts Unlimited folder, and I'm just gonna go ahead and do a Git init. And I'm also gonna go ahead and set up some global configuration stuff. So I'm gonna do Git config global, And from here, I'm going to set up my user email. If I can type today. And I'm going to just go ahead and use my Hotmail account, which I also misspelled here, hotmail.com. And I'm going to do another git config, and I'm going to set my username. All right, I think I'm getting the hang of this keyboard a little better. Now that I have that set up, what I'm going to need to be able to do is push this information into our repo. And to do that, you're going to have to set up a remote. So we're going to do git remote. We're going to add a new one. We're going to call this guy origin. And we're simply going to paste in what we copied from the clipboard. And now that we have that, we basically need to do the normal git stuff you would do. Add the files to our repo, commit that repo, and then push it. So we're going to do a git add, and I'm just going to add everything. And then after doing that, I'm going to go ahead and commit these changes. So let's do a git commit, and I'm going to do hyphen this, and this is just going to be my initial check-in here. And then finally, I need to push these changes to our repo. So if I simply do a git push, and I want to make sure I get all this stuff there, this should start pushing all of my stuff up there once I log in. And this is where the credentials that we just talked about, or I'll show you here in just a second, you can set so you don't have to put this on the command line. And hopefully everything starts going up the way I want it to. And then in a moment, when I go back here, so from here, I go to, is it security?
Yep.
And for some reason, this is running a little slower than I'd like it to. Always does when you're doing a demo.
Yeah, so it's important to point out, too, the commands for git config for global, that's only done on the first time.
Right? Absolutely.
And that's just so that when you push to the repo, people know who you are. That's just part of the way in which Git works.
And then here I can set up my alternate credentials. And then I could put any username and password here that I want and then be able to type that on the command line versus my account information that I did before. And again, we're having some very slow internet.
And there are also a number of different ways in which you can commit to the repo.
Absolutely.
For instance, Donovan could have done a git clone.
Absolutely.
Pulled down, the empty repository and then put the copy and pasted the files in there and then done a push. So there's a number of different ways you can go about it, but we just want to get you familiar and show you that, hey, this is Git.
Absolutely.
This is, the standard protocol and how you operate.
Yeah, so there's no wrong way to get your code into the Git repo. Whatever commands work for you, feel free to use them. That's the mode that I go to, because if I were to clone and then sometimes clone from GitHub, you have to then copy it out of there to make sure mm-hmm. you don't have all the other information. And I felt this way allowed me to just do a quick copy and paste, but he's absolutely right. There's no wrong way to get your code in there. I wanted to jump back to this screen while we waited for the other one to load to show you that that empty repo now has all the code in it that we want to use in the future modules to be able to continue with build. And here is where you would actually be able to set those additional credentials.
Okay.
Great. So we're ready now to kick off into the next module and actually show how we're going to build that code using our new build system.
Yeah, very cool. So we want to share with you some resources that we have, just so you're well aware of where you can learn more things about DevOps. And we want to specifically call out, Donovan already has shown us this Parts Unlimited application. Now, he pulled some custom, he had a fork of the Parts Unlimited application and did some customizations to his own repo. But that being said, there is a Microsoft supported Parts Unlimited application and a Parts Unlimited MRP, which is fully open source. And the Parts Unlimited is the kind of all Microsoft type of app. Tied back to the Phoenix project. That's the main one I want to call out here, but there are a ton of other resources from Microsoft on helping you with DevOps.
Absolutely.
So with that, though, we want to go ahead and close out. Thanks for watching the overview, and stay tuned for the next module.